Thank you, Jean. Good morning, everyone. Could you please turn with me to number 669 in your blue hymnals for the call to worship? A mighty wind has blown. The Spirit is with us. God's Spirit moves among us and gathers us together.
God's Spirit gives us power and calls us to serve the world.
God's Spirit is poured out upon us. Worship God with joy. Let's pray. Holy One, for all the ways you speak to us, in rushing wind, in dancing flames, in words we understand, and in all that transcends language, we give thanks. give us courage to speak your love everywhere we go to everyone we meet. Amen. Here on this absolutely beautiful Sunday, what a difference a week makes. Do we have any guests who would like to be introduced? Anyone else? If not, welcome to everyone as we... Sorry. Oh, is there anyone else? Oh, hi there. Well, welcome here. Okay, now we'll just have a few announcements on our community life. Under number 3 and 4, our caregivers will be serving our members in care homes in various ways. Today they'll be serving a FOSPA lunch at Kingsford House at 3 o'clock. And next Sunday at 2:30 at Bethania, they will be giving a communion to both residents at Bethania House and the care home. Pastor Gary wanted me to highlight number 5 for you, that there is a pastoral review survey that you can fill out, and you're all welcome to participate in that. Other than that, I invite you to look over the bulletin and see what else is there for you. Does anyone else have any announcements? If not, we'll highlight some concerns and joys in our community. Under number 1, Erica Cron will be having shoulder replacement surgery on Monday, May 25th. So please keep Erica and her family in your prayers at this time. Number 2, continue to keep Louise Lage and her family in your prayers as Louise continues down the road to recovery. There was a note that I think went out with the email that didn't make it in the bulletin. John and Heidi Schrader have requested prayer support for their daughter, Terry, who will be undergoing surgery for cancer treatment. So now we'll open up the mic for sharing, if anyone has anything they'd like to share.
Leonora Weeb, I would like to thank the congregation for all their prayer support that they have given to Dennis, our nephew. It was last week, Thursday, that Dennis got the okay to go home to Altona. It's only been 30 days since his surgery for his new heart, and God has worked a great miracle for Dennis and his family. So thank you for the prayer support, because I know I stood up front and I said, I covet your prayers. And God has answered. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, it's Elizabeth. I'll just share briefly, because we shared last week that our son Jacob was going to be having a test. And the test went well. I definitely felt your prayer support. We were having an issue with our car where it was overheating. And I was very nervous about making that trip downtown over the Disraeli Bridge. And then suddenly the temperature gave charge to swing back the other way, and it wasn't all the way down to overheating anymore. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's because all those people are praying for us. So thank you very much. I was very nervous about making that trip alone with Jacob. But the test went well. He's always very, very good when they're testing him. But we still don't have any results. So thank you for all your prayers.
Is there anyone else? If not, let's enter a time of prayer. Lord God, thank you for this day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of your promised Holy Spirit. We give thanks that in eons past you poured out your Spirit on the earth, fashioning men and women in your image to enjoy the wonders of nature you have created, that you kept rescuing us from ourselves despite our foolish ways and our lack of understanding of what it means to be your children. On this day, we pray for those in our family who are dealing with illness and grief. We pray for John and Heidi Schrader and their daughter, Terry, as she undergoes her surgery. We pray for healing and a speedy recovery for Erica Cron as she has her surgery. We pray for Louise Lage and her family as she continues to heal. We continue to pray for Leonora Nabe's nephew, Dennis, and we are thankful for tests that went well for young Jacob, and we pray for good outcomes from that. At Easter, through your Son, Jesus the Christ, you were glorified. At Pentecost, through your Holy Spirit, you set the early church on fire and led the disciples into the world to preach your word. May all praise and worship be yours. Amen.
If you'd like to turn in your blue hymnals to number 26. This is a new song for... No, that's not right. No. This is not the new song, but there will be a new song later.
Thank you.
If all the kids want to come up to the front, time for a children's story.
Wow, you're getting further and further away. Come closer, please. Otherwise, it's too scary. That's better. Thank you. Hi. It's not snowing.
Yay!
Okay, I have something here. Does anyone know what that is? No, it's not cereal. Noodles! Yes, it's noodles. But they're kind of dry, aren't they? How many of you want to eat them like they are right now? Some of you do. How many think this is the best way to eat a noodle? Just one, yeah. I think if you ask the grown-ups, most of them would think that this is not the best way to eat a noodle. Today, Pastor Gary is going to be talking about a man named Ezekiel. He's from the Old Testament. And he was, this dry macaroni kind of reminds me of the story. God took Ezekiel and showed him a valley, which is kind of a deep part in the earth, in the ground, and it was full of dry bones. And then God asked Ezekiel, "Do you think these bones can live again?" Now, Ezekiel's a very smart man, so he didn't answer. He said, "God, I think you have the answer to that question." Pretty clever, hey? And then God said, "Yes, I do." So he said, "Ezekiel, if you tell the dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord, this is what Lord says. Look, I'm going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will breathe into you and you will come to life." So God told Ezekiel to say those words. Now I just told you Ezekiel's a smart man. What do you think he did? He said the words. And what do you think happened? The bones came to life and started dancing around. It's kind of a crazy story. Now, the first time I read this, I thought, how am I going to tell this story to kids so they get what's going on? And then I found this on the internet, and it says, look at the macaroni. Is it dry and hard?
Yes.
Kind of like a bone? Now, what do we do to the noodle to make it be something yummy? We cook it. Is that the only thing we do? We boil it. Yes, that's the same as cooking. Put some sauce on it. And then does it turn into something great? That, I think, is the idea of this story. God can take stuff like dry bones, and that kind of means the stuff in our life that's kind of hard, that we don't really like. And I'm hoping you guys don't have too many of those things in your life yet. But as you grow up, there are some hard things that happen. And God can take those hard things, and if we ask him, he can change them into something soft and yummy and delicious, or into something better in our life. What do you think? Does that make sense? Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we face hard things and life seems hopeless. Help us to remember the lesson of the dry bones and the noodles. If you can make dry bones live again, you can make something good out of the hard things in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now you get to go back to your families. Oh, there is Sunday school. Okay. See you guys.
Now comes the new song. For our offering hymn, we'd like to sing God Who Touches Earth, number 511, 511 out of the Blue Hymnal. And it's very simple, so you'll be able to follow along very easily.
Our first scripture passage comes from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord is on me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Come, breath, come from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open the graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The next passage is from Romans 8, verses 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
You look like you're in the dark today. Two comments about the children's story. Number one, if most of the children who come to the front are ready to eat dry macaroni, maybe we need to start a breakfast program here on Sundays. Secondly, you know you're in the prairies when you have to describe a valley. I come from BC. Do you know what a valley is? There you go. Let's take a moment to pray before we take a look at this text. We are grateful, God, for days like this when we can experience the cool breeze of the day blowing through the windows, have a sense of peace that in the midst of life, whatever it is, you are here. Help us to see your invitation and words of life as we look at this passage. Amen. When the first Europeans showed up in southern Saskatchewan around what's now Regina, they saw these huge piles of buffalo bones. And they described them. They said they were 2 meters deep and 13 meters across, and they were all, you know, wowed by this. Apparently this is where the Cree would slaughter buffalo, and they thought they used everything except the bones. They thought, well, if we put the bones here, maybe their relatives will come back to visit them, and we'll get them too next time. And sure enough, they did. So anyhow, they called the Europeans called the area Pile of Bones. They're very creative people. And later they changed it to Regina, which is a Cree word, which means go riders, go. So, we are sort of taken up by bones. We like pirates, for instance, Johnny Depp, right? We make Lego pirate stuff and say to our children, here, play pirates. Look at the bones. Aren't they cute? We have motorcycles with skulls all over them. I don't get that one. As somebody who's ridden a share of motorcycles, seeing skulls on them makes me a little bit nervous. I mean, you're already a little tentative climbing on this machine. I was watching a movie a while ago, or a show called Counting Cars. And they build all sorts of fancy vehicles. And so they made this motorcycle, and on the back fender, they put the Lord's Prayer. You might want that prayer up in front of the bike, but at any rate, which is really nice. And around it, they put skulls. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? But anyhow, we have bones and skulls on jewelry, on clothing, on artwork, even music. Some of it's really morbid, you know, Alice in Chains kind of stuff. But some of it, like Dim Bones, you know that song, Dim Bones, Dim Dry Bones? We don't sing it as Mennonites because it leads to dancing. But we even have bones in our singing. The story today isn't about the happy bones. It's about sad bones. So Ezekiel is standing there looking at this valley, and it's this valley full of bones, and we're not sure where they came from. Maybe there was a war, maybe there was a disease, maybe they starved to death, we don't know. But it represents death and the end of hopes and dreams and everything else. In the last 100 years, we've had our share of valleys of dry bones. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Last summer, there was some celebration of some of the battles of World War I. And they would show pictures on TV, and there's just these huge fields full of crosses. And there's something very sad about all of that as we think about all the people. There have also been the killing fields that we know of, Rwanda, Cambodia, and other places which slip my mind at the moment, where they've been just mass killings, and they just bulldoze these people into mass graves and cover them up. And so when we think about that, that's what Ezekiel was looking at when he looked at this valley full of dry bones. It was really, really sad. And God comes to him, as we heard in the children's story, and God says to him, can these bones live? Now today we might say, well, can we get a good DNA sample out of that? You know, maybe Jurassic Park and all this. But Ezekiel knew the answer, and the answer was, once you have a bone in your hand, it's done, you might as well give it to the dog. Finished. No, it can't live. But he also knows God, and God's always got something up his sleeve. And so he goes, I don't know. And God says, I'm going to make you say it. Prophesy to the bones. So Ezekiel said, bones, let's get it together here. And sure enough, bones together, sinew, skin, all that kind of stuff. And there they stand. And then God says to Ezekiel, they're not breathing. I can see that. Prophesy. Really? Yes. Okay. Start breathing. Four winds come and flow into these bones and let them be people. And there they are. So really cool story. Great movie potential. Where are we going with it? What is Ezekiel saying with this passage? Let me start by what he's not saying. I think this is important. Sometimes we take stories like this and we add them to Moses parting the Red Sea and Elijah making steel axes float and Jesus taking people who have been born blind and letting them see and raising Lazarus from the dead and feeding 5,000. You get the picture. And we take this arbitrary pile of magic that God does and he hands out in a very arbitrary way. And when we get in trouble, when we have no way out, everything in our world is falling apart. We hang on to this kind of like a Hail Mary pass when you're playing football. And we say, okay, God, I need you to pull out one of those miracle things. And you need to fix my marriage, fix my kids, fix my finances, fix my health, fix everything that's a problem. Because I don't know what else to do. You put the bones together in Ezekiel 37. I know you can do it. And then we sit and wait. And typically, God doesn't. And we say, what happened? I was having problems. You didn't show up to fix them. Are you there? Do you care at all? and we get really discouraged. Ezekiel 37 is written in a context. It's Ezekiel 34 to 39. And it's a passage where Ezekiel is saying to the people, God cares. In chapter 34, it is a marvelous chapter. You've got to read this. God says, I am going to come as a shepherd for my people. It looks like John chapter 10. You know, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Pretty much the same. Chapters 35 and 36, he says, and you're going to get along. Sounds like parents talking to the kids going to a family gathering, doesn't it? You're going to get along. You're not going to be you're not going to be greedy. You're not going to step on each other. You're going to be happy on God's mountain. In chapter 38 and 39, in a nutshell, he says, and there's going to be peace. Chapter 39, verse, I think it's 9, he says, going to bring together all the weapons that you've put together, and we're going to use them in the fire to keep you warm, to roast marshmallows, to make your meal. A beautiful picture of how God turns things on its head. So in the middle, he says to the people in chapter 37, you are the dry bones. Your life has fallen apart. And the people said, for sure that is. We've lost our homes. They're often in Babylon in captivity. We lost our homes. We lost our farms. We lost our business. We lost our church temple. We lost our God. See, the people said, if God's not going to be there for us when we need him, if he can't beat the Babylonian God, then what's the point? Just like when we need a big miracle and we come to God and we say, you got to heal somebody of cancer. Because we need you to. And if God doesn't, just like the Israelites, we sometimes say, what's the point? What he's saying is, he says to the Israelites, you're the dry bones. You've given up. You have no hope. You've let go of everything. And he says, I have come to bring life to those dry bones. I have come, he says, I will pour my Holy Spirit into you, or my Spirit into you, and you will live, and you will know that I am God. That is the message of Pentecost. God coming, sorry, God coming and saying to us, I will pour my Spirit into you. Before Pentecost, the followers of Jesus, there was 120 of them, they had given up everything the disciples said ahead of time to follow Jesus. And then they saw him die, and they weren't sure what was going on anymore. They saw him a few times, and he was gone. Now they're waiting week after week after week. And they're giving up. And they're feeling like dry bones. And then on Pentecost, God pours his Spirit, like he says in Ezekiel. He pours his Spirit into them. And they live. They experience hope and joy and love and peace. Those are the things that Paul usually talks about. And everything changes. Nothing changed. They all had all the same problems. They still had to go paint the eaves the next Monday. They still had a mortgage payment. They still had problem with their third child. They still had struggles in life. But everything changed because when the Holy Spirit poured into them, they changed. They changed. There are lots of dry bones in our lives from time to time as well. Sometimes the dry bones are giving up on dreams. Now, some of you sitting on the very back wall of the balcony, you haven't got here yet, so plug your ears. This is disappointing. Midlife crisis. Midlife crisis is when you take all the dreams you've had from a child, you know, the one where you're going to be famous and you're going to be rich and you're going to own your own business or several of them and you're going to have perfect children and a perfect spouse, of course, and everything is going to come up roses. And midlife crisis is when you clean the garage out and you start throwing these things in the garbage. Won't need that anymore. Won't need that anymore. Oh yeah, as if. And it's difficult. Because we take a bunch of our dreams and chuck them out the window. And it's hard. So that's what, and sometimes after that we feel like life is dry bones. I was going to be exceptional. And I'm ordinary. And that's hard to come to terms with. Sometimes the dry bones our marriages. I think one of the saddest things I ever heard was sitting down, this is about 30 years ago, it stuck with me, sitting down with an elderly gentleman who was telling me about life and how humdrum his marriage had become. It was just boring. I mean, it starts off with this wild romance like they always do, right? Well, usually do. Hopefully they do. And it come to the point where he said to me at the end, he said, yeah, there's nothing left, but I'll probably die in 10 years, and I guess I can put up with it till then. That's dry bones, folks. That's dry bones, putting up with marriages that are like that. For some people, it's being bullied all your life, and for some people, it seems to follow them. You're bullied as a kid. And as you get older, people just seem to be attracted to you to pick on you. And it gets old after a while. And there's a point in which you say, why do I keep fighting? There's so many things in our life that come up dry bones. We disappoint ourselves. Other people disappoint us. Sometimes other people we look at as dry bones. You know what? They are whiners. They probably came out of a womb whining, and they're going to whine till they die. So I guess we're just going to have to pull it up with them. Other people have disappointed us so badly, we've just written them off and say, you're nothing but dry bones, and I have no hope for you. Forget it. Get out of my life. Well, you get the picture. There's lots of different things that are dry bones. And what Ezekiel says to us, and what Joel the prophet says to us, and what the writer of Acts says to us, is there is life for those bones. God changes things. We don't want to give up. Because it's not that the circumstances are changed, as I mentioned earlier. Still got to paint the eaves tomorrow. But God pours his spirit into us and fills us with his perspective, and all of a sudden we become people who are capable of having hope again, who love, who have peace, who experience joy. Not because everything's perfect, not because we've all of a sudden become exceptional, because we're still ordinary, but because we've experienced God's Holy Spirit. This morning I was kind of at the front here sort of mumbling over things, and Anna came in and opened the windows. Said we need to open the windows to let the cool air flow in. And I thought, you know, isn't that exactly like the Holy Spirit? We need to open the windows of our soul to let the Holy Spirit pour in to bring new life, to bring hope, to bring joy. The passage from Romans that Lisa read says that together with all of creation, we are groaning, waiting for God to do this work. And on Pentecost, he did it. It goes on in the passage to say the Holy Spirit looks at the very depths of our hearts, at the longing of our heart. And the longing of our heart isn't the part that looks for, oh, I'd like something new. I'd like things pretty. It's the part that we really want to make things whole. That's the part that longs for God. And the Holy Spirit finds that and brings it alive, so that God can come and touch that part of us, so that we also can experience the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have communion together in a few moments. Communion is remembering what Jesus has done, to be sure. But communion is also saying we are followers of God. We are children of God. And God comes to fill us with that life, us with that hope and joy and peace. My prayer for you, for all of us today, is that we would recognize the dry bones that accumulate in our life, and they just do, folks. And that we would open the windows of our soul, allow the Holy Spirit to pour in, so that we can experience all that God would have for us.
Amen. The next song that the choir is going to sing is a German song. It's called Stille, Stille, Stille sein. And I thought when I was looking for music for today that this song we haven't sung in a very long time. And when I mentioned it to the choir, yes, they said, we love it. And there are a lot of people here who maybe haven't heard it for a long time and would feel the same way that we did about it. And because we are just to begin communion, for those of you who don't speak German, basically the song to me says to just become quiet before God. Like Gary said, not all things are perfect and good, but he is there in everything. So just to become quiet and prepare ourselves for communion.
A few comments before we begin the communion service. You may have noticed I somewhere along the way picked up a cold. Probably got it from one of you, but I got it from Charles. But in order to not pass it on, I'll be staying away from the elements. I'd like to mention that as we pass the elements, we'd like to ask that you would hold them until we've all received so that we can participate together. As we pass the bread, if you have a gluten intolerance, there is gluten-free crackers at the center. When we pass the cup, if you would rather not have wine, there is juice at the very center, and so we invite you to take that. We celebrate the Spirit of God who hovered over creation and brought order out of formlessness.
We praise you, Spirit of God.
We celebrate the Spirit of God who filled Jesus with power and wisdom, and through him made the life of God available to all.
We praise you, Spirit of God.
We celebrate the Spirit of God who has been poured out on all people and leads us into the kingdom of God.
We praise you, Spirit of God.
And so, as we gather at the Lord's table, we recognize the Spirit's presence among us. We open our hearts to the Spirit's influence.
Lord, we come knowing that we depend on you for life and truth and love. We come knowing that you welcome us with open and accepting arms. We come ready to meet you and be changed by the encounter. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his crucifixion, gathered his friends for a meal. During supper, he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it and passed it among them with these words: This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, and remember. I ask the caregivers and helpers to please come and distribute the bread. Has anyone who would like to participate been overlooked? In your hand, you hold a piece of bread. Bread represents the body of Christ broken for us. It also represents the nourishment that God would give us so that we can be built up to be the body of Christ in this world. I invite you to take this, recognizing the invitation to participation in the Church of Christ. Let's participate together. After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine and gave thanks for it. Then he passed it among the people with these words, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Take, drink, and remember me." I ask the caregivers to come, please. Thank you. Has everyone who would like to participate been served? The cup you hold represents the blood of Christ shed for us. It represents the new covenant in Christ's love that we are invited to participate in. As we participate by partaking of this wine, we are saying that we are open to the work of God in our lives, that we are open to the Holy Spirit flowing into our lives to be the people that God has called us to be. Let's participate together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this meal of remembrance, for coming to us in the Spirit's power as we have shared it. May the love we find at this table be reflected in our lives. May the power we receive at this table make us peacemakers and healers. May the Spirit who fills us again at this table let us be with those who proclaim God's kingdom in every word we speak, in everything we do. For Jesus' sake, amen. I invite you to stand for the benediction and for the closing song, please. Now, people loved by God, filled by His Spirit, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.